Peace, God.
Peace to the God.
How you, God?
I'm studying 120 right now. Call me back at the God hour.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Let's be honest. The Giants fucking stink, right? I mean... is the season over? I mean, it kind of feels like it. I mean, Juice, what do you think?
It's over.
Sorry, I'm just reading the headline. Oh, no. Ex-Pistons coach Brendan Malone, father of...
I saw that today.
Mike Malone passed away.
He was a Nick coach. I know he started under Boeheim. Like, he was New York to the core, that guy.
Yeah, yeah. He wasn't there for the finals run, and I figured he was just too old. But I don't know if he was sick or not. But yeah, he was Van Gundy's coach.
Yep.
Wow.
He grew up in Westchester. I started at Iona too, maybe. So yeah.
Yeah.
Local guy.
All right.
Local guy.
R.I.P. But back to the Giants. Yeah, like the schedule's really tough. They got the Bills next, right? And then after that, the Commanders, which they're playing better than us, so they're going to be favorites. And then they got the Jets, are a terrible matchup for the Giants just because their defense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We can't score on anybody, and the Jets' defense, that's a nightmare for Daniel Jones facing that front four. So it's pretty bleak. It's pretty bleak. But I have this weird theory that I think Shane and Dable knew that they were going to be bad. Like, the rest of the world thought that we'd be kind of leveraging how they did off of last year's postseason run and then improving. I don't know. I kind of get a vibe that they thought they were going to be bad. I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah, it seems like he's kind of resigned to the fact, like you said, that they're not going anywhere this year. And he's had a few blow-ups, but outside of those like random times, you know, after the Jones pick six against who was that, Seattle, right?
Yeah,
he's been calmer than I thought.
The clipboard,
you just
the clipboard,
yeah, or the tablet, whatever,
or tablet,
it was.
Yeah, tablet, yeah.
I get a
Miami game, he was so chill. Like, I thought like he'd be one of these guys that are just like, you know, the whole entire game just like really laying into guys and
red in the face.
Yeah, red in the face, like just kind of tuning him out, and that's how you lose the locker room. But I think he's got the team under control, even though, yeah, the team's going nowhere.
I get this vibe that he doesn't like Daniel Jones.
Danny Crimes.
Yeah, but here, let me just play a little devil's advocate. They've had three offensive linemen out. So 60% of the offensive line.
Yeah.
Then you have, I mean, Andrew Thomas, the best player on the Giants, right? He's top three left tackle in the entire NFL. He plays six snaps, and after that, he's injured. For the first, how many games? Week five? Yeah, five games.
Five games.
So you have him out. So essentially, the offensive line's out. 60% is out. Daniel Jones has 2 seconds to throw the ball. And I think he's trying, like he's trying to do something, but, you know, in 2 seconds, he's just making bad decisions and throwing the ball in bad places and turning the ball over. So he looks bad. And a big part of that, what's not helping out, is Saquon Barkley's been out 3 games.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that I'm happy you brought that up because I wanted to circle back to that, to the offseason. Whole proponent, you don't have to go crazy overpay with him, but I thought it was a really bad look not, you know, signing him to a 2 or 3 year deal. You know, this guy's been the heart of the team. He wants to be here. The fans love him. He's done everything the right way, and they kind of treated him like you're nothing. And I didn't
understand. But this proves the point. This proves the point, though, right? Like, if they would have paid him. And now he's out. It's like another year of you missing significant time.
That's the thing. It's tricky. They're kind of stuck with that, and that's why I think they were kind of stuck with Jones, because if they did, how are you not going to re-sign Jones? He had a good year, right? Won a road playoff game, you know, with the first year coach in Dable right there. So where do you go?
They were stuck, right?
Yeah.
Because they couldn't just let him hit the free market, because he would have signed. So someone would have gave him some money and he would have signed, right? So essentially, like, everyone's making a big deal about, I think they were saying like $160 million, whatnot. It's really a 2-year deal. He, you know, he has this year and next year, and they'll cut him. I don't, especially if he's playing like this, I don't think he's going to be here long term the way he's playing.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's just the offensive side. On the defensive side, they just don't have enough bodies. They don't have enough people. They don't have enough players. And Wink blitzes so much. He just blitzes nonstop.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. The thing that's sad is I feel like we've been bad for a long time. Last year we were good. But you got to see, like, they got 4 wins off the bat from the AFC South, right? They swept the AFC South last year. That was the worst division in football.
Yep. Good point.
There's no gimmies like that this year, right? So I feel like they're due for a bad year, but, like, I didn't think 2 or 3 went bad. So the thing that's sad to me is that they don't have any superstar players. Like, bad teams have, you know, horses. You know, you can't win the Kentucky Derby riding a jackass, right? You need horses. I don't think we have any.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have Dexter Lawrence.
You have Andrew Thomas. Andrew Thomas.
And you have Thomas.
Yeah.
And then after that, like, I don't know. Yeah, you could say Saquon Barkley's a running back. You know, like, I don't know.
Thibodeau.
So, and I think I heard, and that comes back to Shane. Like, when does he start feeling some heat? Because I heard of a call on the fan. Was it this first year they had 11 draft picks? The guy said 11. I don't know if that's true.
I think it was 11, but they maneuvered it and they didn't end up using all of them. And then last year they gave up 2. But here's the thing: I think they were strapped with Gettleman, with cap, and, like, they haven't re-signed anybody. Kadarius Toney was a disaster. They ended up trading him for Waller. So in essence, it's a wash. We weren't getting anything. Toney, we're not getting anything out of Waller.
Yeah.
Right. I would still do that deal.
Oh yeah.
So I don't, like, they're not going to fire Dable this year. They're not going to get rid of Shane.
No.
But next year they have to improve, right? They're nowhere near competing with anybody in our division. So next year they might feel it. But the thing is, you got to get rid of both of them now, because Shane is the one. Joe Shane hired Dable. You can't just fire Dable and say, Shane, give him a chance to make another mistake. So.
Right.
I like Dable. I still do. Here's my thing too. You can't fire coaches every 2 years.
No.
Like, I don't think that's the way to do it. But you gotta give the guy some talent to play with. Like, we have nobody. We have bums on this team. All our wide receivers are third. Like, they would be your third wide receiver or fourth wide receiver, and we have like 6 of them.
Yeah, you do have one of the best tight ends in the game, though.
Yeah.
But
they don't use him enough.
But they don't use him enough.
Used him a little bit more against Miami. He looked like prime Waller, but it was a little bit, you know.
And Danny,
junk time, garbage time.
What I understand about Danny is he's on the run all the time, right? And he's one of the best running quarterbacks in the league. But do you ever see him, like, pass on the run? I feel like I never see that.
No, when he puts his head down, like, his mind is made up.
Yeah.
He doesn't really look up. He becomes a straight running back.
Yeah.
He's very easy to read, because what he does is when he hikes the ball, he stares down the guy that he's intending to throw to.
Yep.
And that's where the ball goes. And it's easy for defenses.
That's what Zach does, or, you know, is not doing as much, but we'll get to that, obviously.
And I think the Seattle guy, Witherspoon, who...
Oh, my God.
Watch him in college. That dude's a freaking animal.
He dominated that game. I haven't seen a corner dominate a game like that in a long time. That was insane.
Yeah, he won that game, and he said Jones, you saw on tape that he stares down, you know, the wide receiver like crazy.
The other thing is,
oh wow.
If you have when you have first round picks anywhere, 1 through 32, you have to hit on them. Have to, those guys have to be starters and they have to be good. Something happens, it sets you back. So a guy like drafting Evan Neal, and if he doesn't turn around and he's a bust, that sets you back. Like that, these add years to you being bad.
Yeah. Yeah. And Evan Neal, the clip of him not even seeing the pass rusher against the Dolphins.
Yeah.
And that was after the comments that made, you know, Don LaGreca have one of the most epic rants I've ever heard. He's good for the one of those every few years. That was incredible. You know, pour one out for the common man.
That's gonna really screw up Shane. Like that pick is gonna really haunt him for a while. You can't miss a top 10 O lineman like that.
The schedule is really tough. So like if I look at it, it's hard to find wins. You know what I mean? Unless they something changes in the second half and they rally, really like they could maybe beat the Commanders. Maybe they could beat the Raiders. After that, it's really tough.
Yeah. I'm thinking two more. I mean, they've played one good half, right? The entire
That's
Arizona. Yeah.
That's it. Well, if they lost that, I mean, how oh my God. Jeez, you know?
Yeah. If Thomas and Barkley are back for Sunday night, they can kind of make it a game, maybe. But yeah, Thomas, it's unbelievable how much he means to that team. He's that good.
More primetime games, too. Jeez. They
yeah, but here's the thing that I don't understand. Like, starting this week, you can flex games out, and I don't know why they didn't flex this game yet.
They're playing the Bills, right? Well, it's Dable going back home.
Right. The spread is like 14.5.
That's insane.
I know.
College spread already. They're gonna use that narrative, you know.
Yeah, but you know what? And this is my way of transitioning. It was fun watching the Jets.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Let's
competed on Sunday.
Let's get into that. You know, they end up winning by 10. Really felt more like winning by 3. You know, they get the fumble and Bryce Hall runs it to the house for the touchdown. You know, still pissed about the week before. The I don't know. Do you call it the Taylor Swift game at this point? I don't know what you call it, but got screwed on a couple calls. I mean, they were losing at the time. Who's to say they would have got the ball back and won the game? But there were so many moments in that Chiefs game where it was just like, oh, if that didn't happen, you know, the Jets win. If this doesn't happen, the Jets win. And it was probably Zach's best game. So
they were the better team, right?
Yeah.
You agree?
Yeah.
They were the better team.
I mean, they went down 17-0 right away. I mean, that's probably what fucked them.
Yeah.
But, you know, going to Denver, take care of business. It got scary at the end there. But I will say this, and Zach, he played an okay game, but I think one of the moments that really stood out for me was, you know, when the Broncos came down and went up, made it within, you know, 24-21, and Jets get the ball. I think they're at their own 20-something or own 30-something. It's third down. Mile High is going nuts. Still one of the hardest places to play in football. It's loud as hell. And Zach, comfortable in the pocket, steps in, throws a bullet right to Conklin, first down. Obviously, he ended up throwing the pick at the end of the drive there.
Which,
but
I don't blame him for it. That wasn't
his fault.
I thought Wilson could have fought for that a lot more.
Yeah. Yeah. It goes like right through his hands. It was like kind of crazy. And then, you know, just get the ball back and win the game. But that throw in that spot impressed me, because I thought he was going to completely just like coil and, you know, hold on to the ball, get sacked, you know, typical Zach stuff. So it's encouraging. Right. Obviously got a tough one this Sunday, 4:25 at MetLife. Going to be a lot of Eagles fans there, undefeated. But I don't know. What do you think, Mr. Pancakes?
So I was impressed with the way they played. I was not, again, impressed with the coaching. There was a few things that I remember. Yeah. The 12 man on the field where they got the penalty when he didn't call the timeout. And even the announcer's just screaming, like, why aren't you calling a timeout?
Yeah.
I don't know what he's doing on the sideline a lot of the times. The other one was when Hall got the touchdown when they were down 13-8, right? Like in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
Get the touchdown, you're up 14-13. Why are you not going for two to go up 16-13?
I didn't understand that point, at all. Yeah.
That point loomed large at the end of the game. If you get that thing and go up by three there, 99% of the coaches are going for two there, right?
He didn't even think about it either. He's just like,
no, and weird. That's what scares me. Yeah. They don't do that. And the red zone play calling. You know, you preach all this all gas, no break bullshit. Okay, great. You kind of do that on defense and special teams for sure. Offense, run into the middle and then pass on third and long is not your motto that you're saying, right?
Yeah.
So, like, show some balls down there. Like, let him throw. And there was, like, five opportunities in the red zone, and it was the same thing over and over. So, to me, he's too timid, Salah. He has, like, this whole alpha man vibe, blah, blah, blah. You know, you're running your stairs. Cool, bro. Like,
yeah.
Be aggressive. Like, he's playing, like, not to lose, and it drives me nuts a lot of the times.
Yeah, what – the end of the first half, that was awful. But is that – did we get an explanation
that's on Wilson.
That? That was Wilson. Okay, yeah.
That's Wilson. You can't – yeah. And, like, he was so nonchalant going up to the line. Like, and Wilson was, like – Garrett Wilson and Uzama, they're, like, Zach, like, hurry up. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
That was on him. He's got to know. He's got to run up. He's got to sprint and, you know, spike that. That was infuriating.
Yeah, that was bad.
And typical.
And then what was the second half? There was a point in the second half where the clock, like, wasn't running. And, like, Salah didn't bring it up. Like, no one brought it up. But I saw Incarcerated Bob brought it up. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, exactly. The clock didn't run for like 14 seconds.
Yeah, I noticed it in real time. I was like, what is going on? No one's bringing this up.
Apparently, they talked about it. I saw like the reasoning. There was an injured Bronco on the field that they weren't showing.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
But then I'm like, why is the play clock running then? So I didn't.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of sketchy. There was some weird calls in that game, man. The roughing the passer that Wilson got clobbered, like clothesline face mask in the first drive
most
of the game.
Most obvious face mask I've ever seen. Yeah.
You know, Bryce Huff did a great hit on Wilson. He gets flagged for it on, what was that second to last drive for Denver to when they got the touchdown.
Yep.
And then the holding on the 2-point conversion. It just seems like, I don't know.
I know.
It's
crazy, and this is the last 2 years, and it's like, come on, we've been beaten down enough. Like, why do we not get calls, like, ever? And we get calls against us all the time. Obviously, in the Chiefs game, the two third downs, the two third and longs. I mean, that game was bizarre for so many reasons, obviously. But, you know, now you got the Eagles. Eagles have... I mean, they looked good against the Rams. They look good. I mean, they're undefeated. Obviously, some games they haven't looked great. I think what you got to do is put Sauce Man on A.J. Brown this whole game. I don't give a fuck about their scheme or whatever they play, whatever zone defense they play. This is the game where you really use your, your star cornerback. Reed comes back, maybe put him on Devontae. I don't know. Are they going to make these adjustments? I have no idea.
Yeah, and it's going to be a rainy, very rainy Sunday. Yeah.
Ah, fuck.
Which I think benefits them.
That kind of does, yeah.
Like 25 times, and, you know, it kind of slops up the game a little bit. And, you know, I don't know. I think they're due for a loss, right, Philly? I think it's going to be a tight game.
Yeah.
Another rainy weekend.
Juice, what do you feel like as a third party watching the Jets? Like, how do they look?
Oh,
I'm curious because, like, me and Tony are so like,
hey, Adam.
Adam,
sorry,
you missed it. You missed the Giants. We can go back to you if you have any opinions.
I sang Rockabye Baby like 47 times in a row just now. I think that was probably more entertaining than watching the Giants. So yeah, okay. We can go back.
There you go.
We can go back though at some point.
From the outside looking in, I think, you know, you guys look good on defense. But it's nice to see some throws. Zach looks really good, but he's still inconsistent where, all right, when you start to think, all right, he's doing good. And then he throws like a pick, you know?
Yeah. It's like pulling teeth, like just like hoping for a, good play but consistently.
He's got it in him. Like, you know, that Chiefs game, he looked good. He played really well in that Chiefs game. He outplayed Mahomes. Mahomes wasn't that good.
First time ever.
Yeah. And in this game, I thought Zach, he still shows you something. You know, he shows he can make certain throws. He can do certain things. But it's just for him, just don't make the boneheaded turnover, you know. But I think things are going the right way. Listen, the Jets can make any game ugly and make it turn into defensive. You know, you got to run.
A special teams stuff. Play, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. So I think it's a perfect recipe for you to make it ugly against a team like the Eagles. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, the Jets, it's the only team the Jets have never beat.
Correct.
In history. Yeah,
never.
In
history. Really? Never so, beaten the yeah. Eagles.
Oh my God, what a stat.
0-12.
So, yeah. They're due.
Wow. 0-12.
That's incredible.
That is incredible. Obviously, it's just going back, you know, 60-something years. But yeah, 0-12. That's pretty nuts.
You gotta keep the Eagles away from that third and short and fourth and short, because that nonsense, that brotherly shove, it's hard. Push. Yeah.
The tush push. Yeah.
Keep them at third and six. Maybe you'll be all right.
Well yeah.
How do they do that so good, by the way? No one else can do it. I don't get it.
It's Kelce and Hurts. It's really,
yeah, Hurts is a monster. With Adam, I think I think it was like last year, before Hurts kind of like blew up a little bit, you were calling him a tight end, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
That was another amazing take from me.
But no, he's huge though. I mean, it makes sense. You know, he wasn't that great in college. Well, maybe at Oklahoma, I think he got a little better, but at Bama, he was, you know, okay.
The Giants tried it and three players got hurt.
Yeah, but Jets need to, and what they did make one adjustment in last game, which I was impressed with Russell Wilson was getting free like crazy in the first half, and then finally in the second half they shadowed him, and he didn't, right, Paul? He didn't have any runs in the second half.
Yeah, we were asking for that, because
yeah,
Mahomes did it, Wilson, I'm sure, so they better have it ready for Hurts on Sunday.
Oh, 100%. You got to put, I mean, Quincy Williams has been a guy, I mean, he's been like the MVP of the team. You know, maybe put someone like him, you know, shadow him or something like that.
Top five linebacker in the league.
Yeah. A god. Yep.
I think the Jets are going to be in all these games because of their defense. I think I said that last time. And a lot of times you just need like a little good fortune. Like I look at the Vikings from last year to this year, just as an example. Like if they can play these games mistake free, I think that they can win a lot of them. I know Philly's going to be a tall task, but like just going forward, like the outlook of the team, they get that win against Denver. They probably should have beat the Chiefs. I think they got a good chance to win a lot of these games. So if I'm a Jets fan right now, I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, they should have won the Pats game. Obviously the Cowboys game, it looks like a blowout, but I mean, they're one. If Sauce catches that pick six, I mean, who knows? What could have been in that game, right? We would have took the lead,
yeah,
and had all the momentum. So, yeah, I think they're going to be in every game. I think they'll be in this game against the Eagles. And I mean, to go into the bye 3-3 after everything that's happened, you know, now Elijah Vera Tucker, 2 years in a row, devastating season-ending injuries in Denver. He could never play there again, by the way. You know,
no,
I don't know if it's the elevation or something like that. That guy's just cursed playing in Denver. That's a, you know, big loss, but Becton's been killing it, and let's see, Max Mitchell, right? He's gonna go in his place. Yep. So
next, I don't think it's next man up. Sustainable to get a win and have like a star player tear their Achilles after every win. It's not
gonna work. I know, can't make it up. It's so brutal. So brutal.
Can never be happy. Oh, they won. Great. Your top offensive lineman. Yeah. Like it's never ending.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that would be nice to go into this, you know, the bye 3-3 Giants. I mean, pray. I don't know.
Can I just make a big picture thing about the Giants?
Yeah.
Since I know you guys talked about the Giants already.
No, go ahead.
if you really, if you think about where the team was this offseason, and how hard it is to build around a quarterback once you pay that quarterback, and how little talent they had. And I know hindsight's 20/20, and it's easy for me to say this now, but when you give Daniel Jones $40 million and that's your guy, instead of investing money in the offensive line or the receiving core or, you know, the secondary, and when you look at the rest of the talent on the roster, like, look at these receivers, look at this offensive line. Like, okay, I get it, the guys are hurt, but has this team have zero depth on the line? It's because they spent, you know, they don't have the money. They spent all their money on a quarterback who we don't even know if he's any good. And then to go forward like that, it's almost impossible. Like, they put them, I understand Jones won a playoff game last year, but they really put themselves in an impossible situation this year. And the margin of error because of that was just razor thin. So you lose Thomas, you lose Barkley, and your season's over, just like that. So I think in retrospect, if you took that $40 million, you spent it on some linemen, spent it on, you know, whatever you could spend it on, a corner, something, and then maybe went forward with a stopgap, like even like a Tyrod Taylor. How different would this team look with Tyrod Taylor instead of Daniel Jones even right now? I don't think it would look that different.
Nope.
So I think the mistake here was paying Jones. Obviously, he doesn't deserve all the blame because he's getting kicked out of him. But there's every facet of this team deserves blame, including the front office for making that decision. So that's just my big picture thing on the Giants.
Yeah, it's
no, you're right. Yeah.
A disaster all around. Not much to
Gable.
Yeah, not much to. Yeah, it sucks. I mean, we've been there so many times with the Jets, right? It's like 5-6 weeks in, it's like, it's already over, you know?
Just hopeless.
Yeah.
Hopeless.
Yeah. It's pretty brutal. Speaking of hopeless, the New England Patriots, we got to mention that. I feel so bad.
I know. They don't deserve this at all.
So what, 72-3? They've lost the last two games? Something like that? Right?
Where's Bailey Zappi? Where's that?
Oh, he went in supposedly at the end of that game, the last game, and like threw a pick. I don't know.
Yeah, let's see what he's got.
They're sticking with Mac next year. Not next year. Sorry, next game. Bill O'Brien said that he's a starter.
Yeah, it's.
I don't get it.
It's ugly. I think Belichick's probably perfectly fine with just all right. Time to start over. I think he actually said that in like his press conference after the last game, something like we need to start over or refresh or something like that, mumbled. They're looking good for Caleb Williams right now. That would be awful. That would just be awful. Because what are the Panthers going to do if they have the worst record? They're not drafting a quarterback, right?
No, they're going to trade and get a haul.
Yeah. So, you know. Pats, I think they're destined for, you know, and listen, they've had a run, right? They've had a magical run, maybe the best run in pro sports. So why not? Why not tank and get the best quarterback prospect in God knows how many years? So that would just be,
yeah,
that would just be.
I don't know why. I don't know why GMs like do that. I don't ever think that way. Like if I had Bryce Young. Yeah, like I don't know. If Caleb Williams is supposed to be like Patrick Mahomes, would you
trade Young?
Yeah, trade Young and keep
Caleb Williams. Yeah.
That would be wild. That would be balls.
That's kind of like what
that would show balls.
Arizona kind of did that with Josh Rosen.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, Rosen. And
they did do that.
But Rosen was bad. I mean, Young's going to be decent.
Yeah, Young, you know, he's going, you know, I've watched a little bit of him. He's going through some growing pains, but he hasn't looked that bad. I think he's looked okay. He is small, though.
I really think all these quarterbacks should be sitting. You know what I mean?
I know.
They should be sitting for 2 years, 3 years.
You set him up. I know. You set him up for pain, but that's a good pivot. Let's go to the college football top 10. I'm going to read it off quick here. We got...
Not the Irish.
Yeah, not the Irish. They're still in the top 25, though. They're...
they're done. Losers.
They're 21. They'll probably beat SC this week. 1 Georgia, 2 Michigan, 3 Ohio State, 4 Florida State, 5 Oklahoma, big win, 6 Penn State, 7 Washington, 8 Oregon, 9 Texas, 10 USC. Somehow they're in that top 10. I know they're undefeated, but probably the worst defense in all of college football. And they're going to lose this weekend to the Irish. No way Irish go down 3 games in a row.
I disagree. I disagree.
Oh!
Adam.
Listen, Adam and I were kind of like low-key SC fans. Like, obviously, you know, I'd like to see that, but I don't know. Their defense is – it was less to Arizona at home. I mean,
listen,
41 points.
This is the Lincoln Riley experience in Oklahoma for like
that's
the last
true.
5-10 years. This is what they do. They give up 60, they score 70. I'm not surprised. You know, we knew going in they were gonna suck on defense, but you know they seem to figure it out every year. So I think they'll figure it out.
Yeah,
I think Washington is the best team in that conference.
It's a good conference. Yeah,
it's very good. Very good.
The last year of it. It's probably the best year ever for that conference, and it's the last year of it. It's kind of funny. But the top 10 makes sense to me. Michigan and Georgia still haven't really played anyone, but that was a big win by Georgia. People were like, feeling Kentucky a little bit and wasn't even close.
Yeah, they smacked them. Yeah. The quarterback he's improving every week big time. Beck, he looks a lot better.
Who, the Georgia quarterback?
Yeah.
I know nothing about him.
Carson Beck.
Okay.
He had a crazy game against Kentucky. Every time I watched him, he's getting better and better.
Okay.
So, their defense is going to be loaded. It's loaded with receivers.
Yeah.
All types of athletes all over. Yeah. But I don't know. I feel like it might be Michigan's year, right?
They've looked dominant in every game. Their schedule, though, I mean, obviously they play Ohio State. They play Penn State. Other than that, they don't play anyone else. Those are the only two times they're really going to be tested. And Penn State's low-key, I don't know. They're sneaky good. They have a really good defense.
They've been dominating.
Yeah, dominating. They've also been dominating, exactly. I don't know where that game is, that Michigan-Penn State game is, if it's at the Big House or...
I think it's at Penn State. Pretty sure.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, those are arguably the two biggest stadiums in sports, actually, right? I mean, they both fit like 100,000.
The Big House. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And then...
Who else is there? Florida State,
yeah, I mean, remains to be seen. Oklahoma, though, really impressed me. That Dylan Gabriel kid.
He's Gabriel.
Like next to her. Yeah, my cuz. Yeah, he was awesome.
Good.
Yeah.
I think that's been the game of the year so far, right? Oklahoma.
I thought so. Yeah, the Red River Rivalry.
That kid was awesome.
Amazing game.
Yeah, that was great. That was great.
That and, hate to say it, Paul, but Ohio State, their name was pretty.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure.
Pretty amazing game. Ohio State, they're still there. They're always in the mix. So I don't know. Texas could still make Bama. Bama's 11. They could still, they really only play. They play LSU. If they beat Georgia, they'll probably get in the playoff.
Right.
Is this the last year of the 14 playoff?
Yes,
it is, and it's going to 8 or 12.
I believe 8.
I think it's eight.
Okay.
I think it's 8.
But people keep saying, "Oh, we'll eventually go to 12." So I don't know what I want.
I think 8.
Let's just go to 64.
Yeah, let's do March Madness. We'll call it, December Madness. There you go.
Concussions
yeah,
be
cool.
damned.
Yeah, concussions.
I'm
yeah.
cool with 8. I think 8's a good.
I think 8's
number.
Good. Yeah, why not? Or do you do it like NFL?
Or maybe
can you do it like that?
12 and then the top 4 get it by. Do it like that.
Yeah, I like that.
So it's basically
that's great.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's ultimately where it's going to end up for sure. So yeah, that'd be good. We're probably gonna get cut off in like 5 minutes here. So before we bring Mr. Mount Moscon.
Guido Lava.
Do we want to talk about preseason basketball real quick?
Ben Simmons?
Yeah. Adam was having multiple orgasms last night. with Ben Simmons. Are you you're all in? He's back, fully back.
I couldn't be more all in.
Oh, wow, okay.
So athletic.
Adam, don't do this to yourself, yeah, man.
It's too late.
You're there.
It needs to be said, Cam Thomas as a starter is averaging 31 a game in his career. And he started yesterday, didn't even play the whole game, dropped 17 in the third quarter, had 26 in the game. I don't know.
Sixth man of the year.
Pretty much perfect in the first half. It's lining up.
Sixth man of the year.
He's a bucket, man. That guy can score.
Woo. Yeah, he can. He can.
What's his sixth man of the year odds? I think I might put a nice wager on that.
I looked that up. I couldn't find a scoring title bet for Cam Thomas, which, I mean, I guess FanDuel doesn't want me to win. So.
Yeah, so we'll see. Obviously, next pod will be the NBA preview.
I was getting excited watching Chet versus Wemby. That was awesome.
I missed it. Fuck. I got to watch highlights of that.
It looks like two creatures that should be in the circus.
Slenderman.
just going at it. It was awesome.
Slenderman versus Slenderman, yeah.
I was cracking up, man. This guy, Chet, had a move on Zach Collins. And he just puts his right arm up and starts flexing.
I love it. Good.
That's amazing.
Missed the whole year.
I don't know. But that's going to be fun. I think I like the race between those two for rookie of the year. And I'm sure Scoot will be there too. But
Scoot, yeah.
I love that. And then Knicks, I mean, anything to point out there? You know, quickly had a good game. It's preseason. Jacob Toppin?
No, they got the guys out quick. Fournier got some minutes.
What are they going to do with Fournier?
Who knows? It's weird.
Kind of messed up. Like
they'll find a place for him.
I don't even know.
Unless they're waiting for the deadline to get, you know, maximize the return, maybe. But
I think so. I think you play him a little bit. You know, he can hit threes still. They need to hit threes. That's definitely something they need to improve on. Even last night, I think at one point I looked and they were like 2 for 14 from three. I'm like, oh my God. But it is preseason.
Yeah.
Nothing to go too crazy about.
I can't believe they can't find him minutes. I mean, he's a good shooter. He could create a little too. He's not like a world beater, but he could do enough.
He must be that bad on defense, according to Thibodeau, you know?
Right.
Yeah,
but yeah, they're having like a war of words in the media, and they're like really going at each other.
Wait, who's this?
Fournier and Thibodeau.
Oh, Fournier and Thibodeau. Yeah, that was a little.
He's like, I feel like I'm a fucking nightmare. Like, trade me, get me out of here if you're not gonna play me. It's just like, it's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see. We're gonna have a big fat NBA preview pod in a couple weeks here. Looking forward to it. Another exciting NBA season. Yeah, we're going to have to really talk about this in-season tournament, too.
The season starts 2 weeks from today.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's incredibly exciting.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait. And then, this in-season tournament, I got to do a little more research on it because it's still so fucking confusing, but we'll definitely dive into that. But let's end and bring in Mr. Musk.
Do we have a special guest?
There he is.
Yo, cuz, how we doing?
Hey, Kujin.
What are we doing?
What do you say? What do you know?
Oh, what do you hear?
Guru Maj. Is the big guy here?
He is.
Oh, what are we doing?
What are you doing?
So, it's only right. October, Italian Heritage Month. A few days removed.
Is that
from
true?
Yeah. A few days removed from Columbus Day here. Had to have a special guest. Had to have the purveyor of all things Guido on the pod. Mr. Guido Lava, Mr. Mount Mosk. Mike Moscatello, everybody.
How we doing? How's everybody doing out there?
Welcome to the pod.
Yeah. Welcome.
Long time coming. We gotta just get into it here. Lot to dig in here. We need your We need your opinions here. Let's start here. Top three pastas. Go.
Ooh,
wow. Yeah.
Getting right to it.
Coming in hot over here, right off the rip.
Get right to it.
So, first of all, believe it or not, I'm not a big pasta guy. I mean,
what?
I am, but I'm not. Yeah, listen, I eat it, but it's like I got I know people that they'll eat pasta 7 days a week. I'm not that guy. I'll tell you that right off the rip.
Yeah, me neither.
That's not me. But I will tell you, there's a couple things. One, I love a good homemade ravioli. There's a homemade ravioli, I'm eating it.
Okay.
All right? That's the first thing.
Okay.
I love fettuccine. I don't know why. I do. It's not really like, right. You know. But, I mean, Alfredo, if you make it Alfredo, that's not really Italian. That's what they say over there. Ah, you guys made that up in America. Whatever. I still enjoy it. I love it. You know what I mean? What are we going to do?
Yeah.
And then the other part, I think I would say from there, I like Orecchietti.
Yeah.
Nice one.
You know, those are my top three, I would say.
Okay. I'm with you on the ravioli for sure. That's definitely in my top three. 100%.
How about a little farfalle?
Farfalle's nice. I mean, listen, I'll eat it all, right? I mean, to me, it, you know, rigatoni, I'll take it.
That's my
penne, no problem. I mean, what are we doing? But everybody's going to say the same thing. It's, oh, I like penne, I like rigatoni, I like... Nah, I got to be different. So that's my different.
I like it. I like
okay,
it.
Okay.
I like the short... I actually like the short rigatonis. That's... Yeah. I like that. I like that a lot. What's the best pizza? Best pizza in Rockland.
Oof. Best pizza in Rockland's tough. Rockland's like, there's a lot of real trash places.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to lie. Best pizza in Rockland's, I would say right now that I've had recently, Napoli's is still the king. I mean,
okay.
The former owner sold it, and one of his first.
Is Chef Tom there now?
Yeah, Chef Tom's there. Chef Tom.
Oh wow!
Used to have it down in West Nyack, down where it all started.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
You know, Chef Tom's back, so he's crushing over there. There was a really good spot that my buddy owned, but he sold Paisano's, but that's been sold, and new ownership has kind of. The pizza's been a little ass, so I would say Napoli's now. Unless you want something that's unique and you want a wood fired or a coal fired, then that's a whole different story. You know, that is, and there's not that many places like that up here.
That's true. That's true. Do you have a favorite spot outside of Rockland?
So there's a couple really good spots that I like. One of them is if you know in the Bronx, Louie and Ernie's. Can't beat it. Down in the basement, you walk down, it's a nice thin slice, the best. You know, if you're outside, I work out in Staten Island now. There's if depending on what kind you want, there's three go-to spots. There's Danino's, there's Joe and Pat's, which is like a real thin slice, and there's Lee's Tavern, and they make a phenomenal.
Oh, I've heard of that one. Pie. I've heard of that one. Yeah, with the clams.
That white clam pie is like ridiculous.
Wasn't Cooge just there? I think I saw him.
Cooge was there. Cooge was at Danino's. Cooge was at Lee's Tavern. Those are the three spots that I've eaten at down there that to me are phenomenal. I mean, there's a ton of places I like to try, you know, even in the boroughs. You know, I love to go to like Lucali. I've never been, but I hear the most amazing things about the pizza over there. So,
yeah. Well, you got to get on a waiting list, right? Or it's a crazy wait. You got to know somebody. Pay off the doorman. Some bullshit.
You got to grease the wheel.
Grease the wheel, yeah. To get into Lucali's. It's no joke. Damn, that's quite a commute. Rockland to Staten Island, huh?
That ain't that bad. It's all right. I like it down there. I fit in, you know?
Of course. I mean, you want to talk about Guido? That is the most Guido place on earth. Not even debatable, right?
Staten Italy.
Staten Italy.
It's all right. It's all right.
Forget it. Anyone, let's go around the, come on, everyone's got to have questions for Mount Mosk here.
I have a two-parter. Hey, this is Juice here. Actually, me and Mosk got made together a couple weeks ago. So
we did over at Rails.
Oh yeah.
We're at Rails.
We need some Rails.
We both got made.
Yeah.
Mosk, number one, did Tony Soprano die at the end of Sopranos?
And two, what's your favorite mob movie? All right, I'll hang up.
That was one of my questions too. Good one.
All right, so I think there's a bunch of different theories and conspiracies and shit that people are throwing out there about the ending of Sopranos. There's two things that most people say is that either he got killed or they faded out to black and he became a rat. And I don't see that happening. So yeah, they definitely clipped him because I don't see Tony Soprano becoming a rat. That's just me.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he's. I heard a theory that you don't know, like all of his enemies were taken care of. So I don't know if he's dead.
I mean, listen, maybe he pulled a little, you know, Godfather 2 action, and he went out to dinner and you know, they whacked a bunch of the guys and he had no more enemies. That could be a theory also, but I definitely know. I mean, I don't know because I wasn't there writing it. I mean, I should have been, but whatever. They didn't ask me to come through. I was a kid then. But, you know, to say he was a rat, I'd never see that. I don't see Tony Soprano ever being a rat. And whoever says, I like to smack him in their mouth.
And we could all agree, Meadow, she can't park for shit.
No, she can't park for shit. Yeah.
That was the issue. That was a big issue.
That was the big
one. I mean, listen, Meadow's got her own problems. You know what I'm saying? So that's a story for another time.
I think the fade to black, what was it? Bobby Bacala is talking about on the boat out on the lake there in the Adirondacks, Atone.
Adirondack. You see it coming, he says.
Yeah, yep. You don't see it coming. I think you kind of tie those two together. But
that's a nice callback. So. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and favorite mob movie? Juice had the part.
Yeah, ooh, favorite mob movie.
Yeah, this is.
There's so many. But I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a Godfather 1 guy, man. You know,
wow.
Okay.
OG. Godfather 1 is, I mean, listen, they're all phenomenal, right? You know, you're talking about it, you know, I mean, not so much the Godfather because that was the 70s and you know, just the 70s or whatever, but you're talking that you had a solid run of mob movies that, I mean, untouchable. You know what I mean? You had, you know, Donnie Brasco, you got the Casino, you got Goodfellas. You know, you got Godfather 1, 2, 3. Some people like 3. I don't know. I don't even watch it. You know, AMC runs a marathon around the holidays.
Yep.
You know, Godfather 1, 2, and 3. I watch 1 and 2. 3 comes on, I turn it off.
Yeah. Yeah. 10 hours of TV right there.
Let me piggyback off that question.
Go ahead.
So let's say you were going to start your own little crew of 6 people from any mob movie and you could put them in any position.
I love it.
Let's hear it. Let's hear it.
Now let me ask you a question. I'm putting my own crew together. I'm the boss.
Yeah, you're the boss, okay? And then you got 6 people as you on your team. So put it together.
Ooh, 6 people on
any movie.
So you need an earner, ooh, a hitman.
That's a good one. I mean, for your hitman, there's only one hitman you can ever pick out of any of those movies, and that's Luca Brasi.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah. All right, Luca Brasi's got to be your hitter. 100%. Sure. All right, I'm going to tell you. Now, are we including Sopranos or no Sopranos?
Yeah, any movie, anything.
Luca Brasi, Paulie Walnuts.
Oh, hell yeah.
All right? Paulie Walnuts, to me, is my favorite. I wish I could have met the guy before he died because he's like, he's the best. The guy was literally the best. He played the best character. One of the best mob characters I've ever seen.
Real G.
I've had more laughs watching Paulie Walnuts in The Sopranos with the things he says and the way he does things than in any mob movie I've ever watched or any mob show I've ever watched in my life. So Paulie Walnuts, we're going to go Luca Brasi. I got to tell you, I would probably, I would take Tony Soprano as my underboss.
Wow. Okay.
You know, he's strong. So that's 3.
How about a consigliere?
Save the boss for last. So we need 2.
Well, no,
more.
He's the boss. Mosk?
No, he said
Mosk is the boss.
Oh, that's the... Okay, gotcha. Okay, so 1 more, right? How many have you said? Well, you've said 3.
I got
right?
4.
Yeah, we could go 1 more. It doesn't have to be 6. Oh, okay. 6 is accepted.
One more.
You need a consigliere.
I know. I need a consigliere, but it's not.
What about Carbone? Get the papers.
Nah, they found him in a nice box. Forget about it.
What about Billy Crystal? About Michael?
Who's in my father's name?
What about the pod god, Michael Francis, huh?
You know what? I think Michael Francis, I mean, he's that guy was an earner.
Great, the best.
That guy was an earner. So you know what? I'm gonna agree with you on that. I would put Michael Francis in my crew because that guy will make a ton of money.
Oh yeah, for you. He's lived a life,
and he's level headed. He's a level headed guy. If you ever listen to him when he speaks and the way he talks about the life,
100%.
He's a level headed guy.
100%. 100%. Real guy. Pancakes. You got something?
Yeah. So Mike, you took a different career path, right? If you were a DJ, what would be your DJ name? And
that's too easy.
Three venues.
I love it.
Your three venues. You want to play either in the country or strictly in the tri-state.
All right.
Great question.
First of all, the DJ name, it's my Mount Mosque.
Yeah.
Now, meanwhile, now, time out. Now, most of yous don't know where I got the name from. Okay, but I'm gonna say that the nickname Mount Mosque came from our very own Adam Anytime Arecchio.
Oh,
he's the one that coined that nickname on me in Sunday morning softball, and it stuck ever since.
You know, they say a broken clock's right twice a day. So
that's it.
Thank you.
I was standing in front of him, and he's yelling at me, and he's going, "Jesus Christ, Mosque, you're as big as a mountain. Get the hell out of the way. I can't see." And then from there on out, everybody called me Mount
Mosque. Just clicked. It's clicked. Perfect. I mean, yeah.
Perfect. So Mount Mosque would be my DJ name.
I gotta go. The piggyback on that, Mike. So, like every DJ, they kind of have like the logo, like the brand. What would yours be? Would it be Prosciutto, Gabagool?
Oh, no. Mine would be something.
Monogut?
Yeah, it'd be Monogut. So what? No fucking ZD? That would be my slogan when I open the show. Your grandmother's not coming. Great. So what? No fucking ZD. Then I drop a fucking banger. I tear the roof off the place, light it on fucking fire.
Oh my god, that'd be amazing.
You know?
Yeah. I just got
instead of the smoke that comes out, it's Parmesan cheese being
it's literally like Steve Aoki cakes people. I'm hitting people with trays of chicken parm.
Oh,
in the
100%.
In the crowd.
I'd love that.
We might be onto something here.
Give me that.
Yeah, I'm into this. I'm into this.
Venues.
I would say, you know, a while back somebody drew like the face of a gorilla of me as like a Guido gorilla. I might use that as the logo. That was interesting. That somebody drew for me.
I like that.
You know, and then the three places you gotta play. You gotta play Ibiza or Ibiza, however you want to say it.
Ibiza.
That's like if you're a DJ, that's like that's the holy grail, I think, in my opinion.
Well, what club though? Is there a specific club or just
you know what? There's so many clubs out there.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been out of the scene for a minute, you know, but I mean, there's like the same ones you always hear, like Ushuaia or one of these other ones. I mean, just keep it in mind, right? You're talking Ibiza. David Guetta plays Tuesday nights in Ibiza. Like, that's how crazy it is there. Like, my man's doing a Tuesday night party. Like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah. Absolutely.
So I would say definitely Ibiza. I would say I gotta do Izu because that's back home.
Yes, sir.
You know.
We went to the first one. You remember that?
We did. Yeah. We went. We did go to the first one.
I think Mr. Pancakes was there too.
Me, Pancakes, yeah. Tone.
Yeah.
I would say Izu, and then I would parlay Izu into a set at Brooklyn Mirage.
There you go.
Ah, yes.
Yes, that's
all right.
That's one. Yeah, that venue's incredible, by the way. Seen a few there. Eric Murillo, rest in peace. I seen Jamie Jones there. I'm trying to think who else. I think that was it. But yeah, amazing venue. What about a little throwback? Neptunes? You ever been to Neptunes?
Ooh, Neptunes. I mean, rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, Neptunes, they're long gone.
Damn.
Sound Factory.
Pasha, obviously.
Pasha, the Limelight.
Yeah, yeah.
And we are
what was the,
we are
what was the, uh,
The church one.
That was the Limelight.
That was Limelight and
Limelight the church. Oh, okay.
I'll give you one.
I went there like 6 years ago. It's a gym now.
In the church?
It is a gym. You're right. You're right. It is.
Wow.
I'll give you one that somebody, some people might remember, some don't. DNA in Astoria.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
That's a throwback.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah, there's many. What was the one in Lodi, New Jersey? What was that one?
That was, what do you call it?
Oh,
that
man.
Was,
Rise.
Rise. Rise. Yep.
That's a good deal.
Yeah, that was Rise Eugene, my buddy of mine. I knew him back in my bar and nightclub days.
Camille was the boss.
Yeah,
that was his place. Yeah,
and matter of fact, Eugene that was the he ended up he was the one of the partners in Rise and ran it every day. He's the voice of the New York Minute that used to be on like Z100.
Ah. Oh yeah,
and that was like when we were kids, you would be in the car and you hear like. This weekend at the Jersey Shore, and you'd be like, that's the same guy. And he actually did my intro for my wedding for when my wife and I came down as our entrance. They were playing some filthy house music. Shout out to my boy, DJ Tony Gia, hooked it up at my wedding. And he had Eugene do my intro and it was bananas.
It was tremendous. I can confirm for sure.
To this day, I would like to just go back into that second and just fist pump my face off.
There you go.
That was an epic moment. That was so good.
Speaking of Jersey Shore, favorite Jersey Shore character?
Oh, God, I hate the Jersey Shore.
Even in the beginning, you hated it?
Yeah, you know what? Not that I minded it, but you know what the problem is? Like my problem with like reality TV is it's all bullshit.
Well, of course.
You know what I mean? And like to me, it's like you got people, like all right, they were on. You cast them for Jersey Shore because you saw potential in them to be able to carry your show into numerous seasons or into syndication. Because I mean, at some point in time, they were all over the place. But you got guys that I'll tell you a funny story. A very close friend of mine. That grew up down in the Bronx. He grew up in the same neighborhood that Ronnie grew up in. And he said that Ronnie used to get the shit kicked out of him.
I've heard that.
In grade school and in high school until he went out to college and juiced up. And then he came back and he ended up on the Jersey Shore. Do I know how true that is? It's what I hear. But I'm just saying that, you got guys in the Jersey Shore that are supposed to be, doing everything where they're making out to be. They're such weirdos. But you got people that are half Italian, half something else, and to me that's watered down.
Mas, didn't we call him in my parents' basement at the bar? Monko had his number.
Yeah. How did he have his number?
I'm not sure how Monko got it, but he did it. He picked up the phone.
that's hilarious.
He really picked up, yeah.
Yeah. He's like, no, I don't watch any of the they have this,
all these spinoffs.
Yeah, there's all these spinoffs. They got the family reunion, vacation, bullcrap. But I guess Ronnie, Sammy Sweetheart's back, by the way, Wood.
Wood. Oh my God.
But Ronnie, she looks, she's the only one who's like not aged.
Yeah, because she hasn't gotten Botox when she was 25.
That's very true.
She's been out of the picture for a minute, hiding out, in the shadows.
Yeah, yeah. But, all right, good shit. Favorite Jersey Shore point?
Oh, man. I mean, I love Belmar.
Oh, hell yeah. DJs.
DJs.
Yeah, let's go.
All the time. I'd say, yeah, Belmar for sure in my younger days, in the much younger days, the high school days, Seaside was where you went.
Yeah.
As I got, I'm a big AC guy. So.
Oh, yeah.
Big AC guy.
Hell yeah.
So that to me is like if I'm going down the shore, I'm 90% of the time I'm in AC and I'm gambling, I'm at the pools, and I'm going out for dinners, doing my thing that way. But other than that, last time I stepped foot in DJs, I thought I was gonna have a panic attack or end up in jail for murdering a couple people.
Can't move in that place. Yeah. Yeah, and speaking of AC, shouts to Brigantine Golf Course. I'm sure you've played that before.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah. You know, not the best, but it gets the job done. What else? Obviously, you know, Columbus Day, Christopher Columbus. Let's be honest. You know, not the smartest guy, right? I mean, you know, if he,
you could say that.
Yeah, I mean, if he was in a family, one of the five families, probably would have been whacked. What, you went the other way? Like, fucking Stu Nod. But you know, now they're trying to corrupt it. You know, the Indigenous Peoples Day. You know, what's going on here?
Well, a lot of companies don't even celebrate it now. It's like not even a thing. You don't get the day off.
That's what they do in this country. Come on. Don't even get me started with this crap, because this is what they do. They, you know, like Columbus Day. What do they say? Oh, he came and he pillaged. And what do you think they did in 1492?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not 2023.
Everybody. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, you go to other parts of the world, they're still doing the same shit.
Oh, as we know. Yeah.
So, you know, it ain't his fault.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but kind of funny. Oh, favorite. This is one I want to ask. Favorite. Do you have a favorite feast? Obviously, this is definitely like a feast month all over the New York metropolitan area, or all over the Northeast for that matter. But do you have a favorite feast?
You know, I used to love going to San Gennaro.
Of course.
I used to love it.
Yeah.
And when I was a kid, I would go with my parents. And now I go, I get aggravated. I'm honest with you. I get aggravated.
Too commercial.
It's commercial. Like, God forbid you go on a Saturday night, forget about it. If you can't even... I went on a Tuesday night or Wednesday night this year, and you had to wait 20 minutes to get food. It was like, you know, it was never like that. It was always... And then on top of it, you're walking around and, there's people are smoking blunts and joints everywhere. And it's like, how are you supposed to walk through there? I mean, listen, my kids are young, right? But if I had older kids, you want to walk through there and have them walking around breathing that crap in?
Yeah.
To me, it's. I actually heard there was a really, really good feast. I missed it. I didn't hear about it till after the fact. But there's a really good feast on Staten Island that's supposed to be phenomenal.
I'm sure.
You know, yeah. The other feast that was always really good, but I heard that it's not so good anymore, was in Bay Ridge on like 18th Avenue.
Okay.
One of the feasts over there, I forget the name of it, but one of the guys that works for me is from that neighborhood, and he was like that was a phenomenal feast because it was more neighborhood. It was big, but it was not crowded and everything. And then you know, every feast you go to, it's a zoo. It's like.
What do you think of Fort Lee?
I love that one. That was my favorite one.
Yeah, it's pretty good, right?
There.
Yeah.
You know, there was like, you know, it was just enough people. Yeah, you had to wait for food, whatever, but it wasn't crammed. You weren't bumping into anybody. You know, I mean, it's just, it's not a good look, in my opinion. You know, and I mean, and I don't want, you're getting bumped into.
Yeah.
People looking at you crooked. You know what I mean? And next thing you know, you're like, I'm going to end up going to jail tonight.
Yeah. And I'm with you. And I'm with you. Obviously, I'm an avid pot smoker, but I'm with you at the same time. Like, you know, come on, keep it out of the feast. His family's here.
It's a time and a place.
Time and
right?
a place.
I don't care. I don't care. You want to smoke yourself stupid? God bless. I did it when I was a kid.
Yeah,
but I mean,
it's a family environment.
It's a time and a place. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, no, there's a lot of good ones. What else? Anyone got anything else?
How about Mosk and Josh? Can you walk us through like the Rayos experience?
Oh yes, yes. Glad you brought it up.
All right, so first of all, I went to Rayo's twice in like 8 days. That's like unheard of.
Yeah.
I got lucky. A friend of my dad's.
No big deal.
Yeah, no big deal.
No big deal. A friend of my dad's got a table, and anytime he gets a table, he always calls me and my dad and be like, hey, I got a table. You want to come? So we always go. I usually go with him like maybe once, twice a year. You know, old-time Italian guy. He's the best. So I went, and then they were like, oh, Mike texted me. He's like, oh, listen, we got an extra seat at Rayo's Friday night. So I said, oh, you have an extra seat at Rayo's Friday night? I said, was this the dinner that everybody's been talking about in the group chat all week? And he's like, yeah. I said, first of all, when there's a table at Rayo's, I'm the first person you call. You don't call nobody else. You text me and say, we got a table at Rayo's. This is the night and the time. And I'll say, I'll be there. And then you invite other people. You don't throw me to the back of the bus. I'm not Rosa Parks over there. And then he apologized. And then he said, "Are you coming?" And I literally was just like, I was just there on Wednesday night last week, but yeah, all right, I'll be there.
Yeah, why not?
I told my wife, I said, "I'm going to Rayo's with the guys." And she was like, "You just went the other night." I said, "Yes, so? I'll see when I get home."
And you saw the mayor there. Right?
Oh my God, the mayor.
The mayor. Who's, you know, touring foreign countries. Oh, yeah. Looking for, trying to solve the migrant crisis.
Well, I mean, listen, the mayor loves nightlife.
Yes, he does.
You know, he's a big nightlife guy, and it was funny because a couple of the guys that were at the table with us, they own businesses or work for businesses in the city, and they were like, "That fuck this mayor," you know, whatever. And then it was like that scene, you know, in Analyze This, when they're at the table and they're talking, and then there's look at this fat pig, this scumbag. All right, let's go over and say hello. Yeah, that's literally exactly how it went. It was just like that. Like, this mayor scumbag, he's letting everybody in, the garbage on the streets. But we're buying the keywords. You want to take a picture with the mayor? Yeah, all right, we'll take a picture. I was like, oh, all right.
Yeah, of course. That's great. You never know who you're going to see at Rayo's, for sure.
I mean, listen, I've been there. I've seen Bo Dietl there a few times.
Yeah.
You know, food.
He's a fixture.
The food's delicious.
Yeah.
The food's delicious. You know what's crazy? When I went with my dad's friend, I actually had fried chicken, and it was out of this world.
Fried chicken.
Oh, yeah, okay.
They had a fried chicken. Yeah,
remember, Mosk, we ordered it, and then they didn't bring it. Thank God they didn't bring it, because we ate ourselves.
Yeah,
you know,
a coma. But we got the bill, and Mike's like, "Look at the bill." So I look it over. I said, "We didn't get the fried chicken." So I go over to the waiter, Tommy, and I'm like, "Tommy, I didn't get the fried chicken." "Oh my God, I'm so sorry." So he brings me into the manager's office, Joe, and he's like, "Oh, I didn't." And I see, he goes, "Mike, I'm sorry." I said, "It's all right, not a big deal. Just take it off the menu." No, I'll get you right. I said, "We're done. I ate half a pint of the black raspberry ice cream that they had, whatever it was." I said, "We all had all sorts of desserts over here." I said, "It's all right, don't worry about it." But the nice thing about Rayo's is, to me, I love it. It's good and it's bad, but there's no menu. You don't walk in and they don't say, "Here's a menu, pick what you want."
Yeah. Yep.
You sit at your table, and the general manager comes over and he sits down, and you order everything at once. So we do it. They do it family style, and he says, "Okay, there's seven of you or eight of you at the table. We're gonna do appetizers. This is what we offer appetizers," and then he won't let you over order. So like, "Oh, all right, we're gonna do, you know, we'll do mozzarella carozza. We'll do Alfredo Ahmad. We'll do."
Yeah, he tells you right away, like, "Oh, no, you're good now."
Yeah, like that's time enough. Yeah, he's like, that's enough. No, you don't need any more appetizers. So you normally do like 2-3 appetizers for the table if there's like, you know, 6 or more people, you know, or even if there's not, because they'll make it to the time frame. I mean, not to the time frame, to the amount of people that you have at your table. There's no time frame. If you have the table all night, you have it there all night. There's 2 seatings, so 7 o'clock and 9 o'clock. So if you go at 7 and you got to be out by 9. They take everything at once, boom, 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 bring it out. It's like a factory. 2 hours, you're in. Maybe spend the extra couple minutes at the table, and then you're out. They turn it, the next seating comes in.
Yeah, like, so what we did was we ordered, the apps and the pasta, and then we were getting stuffed fast. And then Mas told them, "Hey, slow it down. Bring the entrees out later on." And then we waited. I think we chilled for like an hour.
Yeah, you know what the key is?
No, that's cool.
The key, you tip everybody, okay? I walk in the door somewhere. Everybody's getting tipped. That's the key.
Grease the wheel, like you said earlier in the pod.
Jimmy the gem.
That's what people don't understand. And let me tell you something. An old timer told me this many years ago. He says, "Always tip." He goes, "But just remember this. Sometimes $20 is too little and $100 is too much, but a 50 is just right." And that stuck with me. So every time I go out, I got 50s, 100s, and 20s. And it, you know, if it's like the made a deal or whatever, I give them a 50. You know, I give them a 50 right off the, like, I do this every time. I go to Molino's in White Plains in Westchester, right? The made a deal there, Jimmy's been there forever. He's a gentleman. Every time I go, Jimmy gets a $50 bill. As soon as I walk in, he goes, "Hey, Mike, hey, Jimmy." I hand him a 50. And then you know what happens? I call Christmas Eve. I need a table for eight people. Guess who's got a table for eight people?
Yeah.
Me. Because he gets a 50 every time I go.
There you go.
There you go. Grease the wheel. Love it.
Anyone listening, write this down. Write all this down.
Grease the
wheel. I love it. I love it. First reaction you had when you found out your wife and you were having twins?
Oh, man. I was like, so we're at the doctor. We're at the doctor, right?
Yeah.
And like, I knew she was pregnant. And the doctor's like, hey, listen, you know, they did like some sort of blood test, whatever. And they're like, your levels are elevated. Blah, blah, blah. They're like, can you come in? And I'm like, yeah, all right, we'll go in. So, like, she's telling me this. And, like, I'm sitting there, and I'm like, why would, like, I'm in my mind. Like, I'm no doctor. I sell cars for a living. Well, I do more than that. But, I mean, I sell cars for a living. So, I'm not, like, you know. And I'm sitting here, and I was like, this, tell me she's got seven twins. So, I'm like, I didn't say nothing. I kept my mouth shut. Because, God forbid, I told my mother, like, I think she might be having twins, and then my mother would have started going off the wall, you know. And I was like, all right. So I'm in the room, and the doctor's like doing this ultrasound thing, you know, whatever. And she's like, all right, here's, you know, one sec. All right. And then like I see, like they look like two little alien eyes looking at me, and I'm going, look at this. I'm saying to myself, it's two of them. So I'm like, this two kids. Right? I'm like talking to myself in my head, and she's like, I don't even know how to tell you guys this, but like you're having twins. First thing out of my mouth, they said, Doc, do me a favor. Look around a little more. Make sure there's not a third one up there. She started laughing. She goes, I looked around plenty. There's only two. Don't worry about it. I said, okay, good. She goes, why? I said, because there was a third. I was jumping out the window.
Unbelievable. I mean, unbelievable. Is it running the you or your wife's family? Like, are there other twins?
Yeah, runs in my wife's family.
Okay.
Yeah, and then, you know, we had a big gender reveal, and, you know, and I got lucky. I got identical twin boys, so.
God bless, man. That's it's amazing.
I don't like gender reveals at all.
Yeah, Juice has a, he's big on
this. Yeah, I'm actually vehemently against gender reveals, but yours was sick.
Oh, like, my God, it was incredible.
Everyone's incredible. Played out, but when you had the Lambo trucks, that was nice.
Yeah, that's fire.
Incredible.
That's fire. All right. Gotta do it big.
That's it. What do? We don't half-ass it. We do it right.
Hell yeah, hell yeah. This was amazing. This was great. Does anyone have any questions? I mean, I got to everything I wanted to get to. Anyone got anything else?
I think Mike nailed it for me. Yeah, I got everything.
Yeah, that was awesome. Thanks, Mike.
This was incredible. So this won't be the last time. You're gonna be.
Listen, I'm telling you right now.
Our resident Guido.
I'm in whenever you want. I'm right now. I just want to let you know I'm wearing a gray velour sweatsuit because that's what I do. But I'm wearing a like limited edition pair of shoes that I've never worn. They're on my feet today because of this. They're on my feet today in honor of the pod and being on it. I got limited edition Fila Louie and Ernie pizza red, white, and green shoes. I got a picture of them. I'll send them to you.
There.
I literally put them on my feet for this because this was the one place to wear them to.
Well, I
want you to know that.
I feel honored. That's amazing. Yeah, I mean, one day we'll go, you know, maybe this pod will be video and the people will be able to see that. But for now, thank you for painting the picture. This was amazing. I think
when's the Soprano themed party at the Moscatel residence?
Hey, listen. Yes. We can do it football Sunday. I mean, next couple of weeks is a little packed. I got a couple of things going on. My sister-in-law's getting married in November. I'm actually officiating the wedding, so this should be interesting.
Oh, wow. Jack of all trades, you know, this guy.
I'm a fucking minister, too, you know? Maybe you heard of my church, the Church of Mount Mosque and Our Lady of Your Sister's Ass. You can look us up. We're online.
Oh, shit. Have you met Kujin?
No, honestly, I would love to meet him. Mike and Adam and the guys had him do a video for me on the morning of my wedding. He sent me a pretty hilarious video. I would love to meet him because he's a character. The only one that I actually have met is Little Mom Mozzarella.
Oh, okay.
I was down in Atlantic City. And I was eating at Martorano's. Shout out to my boy Steve Martorano. I love that guy. But we were down there and having dinner, and little Momotaro was there. And I snuck up on him. You know how he does that? Like, nobody moves, nobody gets hurt.
Yeah.
I went right up behind him with the finger gun, put it in his back. And I was like, nobody moves, nobody gets hurt. I thought he was going to shit himself. He turned around and didn't know what to do. And then he, like, shook my hand. He's like, hi, how you doing? He's like, how you doing? I was like, yeah. And then I walked over to Steve. I was like, hey, Steve, how you doing, blah, blah. And I took, you know, took a couple pictures, and I went back to my table and ate. But, yeah, that's the only one that I've met. But I'd love to meet Cooch. I would love to meet
I'm sure it will happen at some point, you being on, you know, Staten Island every day. So
I'll find him. Yeah. I'll find him. Don't worry about
it. That place ain't that big. He'll find him.
I ain't worried about it.
But this was a pleasure. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you for having me, guys. It was an honor to be on. Thank you.
This will happen again. And everyone, take care. Comb your hair.
Brush your hair.
You're welcome.